What's up, guys? Welcome back to the stream. Be sure to click that like button, beat the fuck out of that subscribe button, kick it right in the bell so you don't miss an episode. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
That'll work.
We'll put that one down there.
How can we not hear that?
You stop playing it.
Oh.
Unstream. Unstream.
Or mute yourself.
All right.
Or mute the computer.
I'm like a lost.
No, it's too many.
Little boy in a department store right now.
It's too many wires and too many things pointed at me right now.
Remember what I even got this for. Oh yeah.
There's a lot going on. All right, folks, we're recording and we're streaming.
Recording.
The streamers, we don't do this often, but we're the streamers. The people watching the live stream get to see us get all set up.
The stream consumers.
The plebs that just find us on Spotify, all this part gets cut out. The part where I bang my mic around. And I'm still not used to doing this live in person.
Yeah.
It's just a different setup at home. As you saw, before the stream started, I had knocked over every light and microphone.
Oh, y'all, I was like 15 minutes behind just because I forgot how to leave and be on time anywhere. I'm like, all right, I got to leave. So I'll need a phone, I think, a wallet, maybe my computer. I don't even, yeah.
It's good stuff. All right, do we have a topic today? I don't think we have a particular
computers.
One. Computers?
In the problems they cause.
No, we don't talk about those.
At least it's consistent.
All right. Sorry, I'm just over here dabbling on my phone, getting my pregame.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, I thought about getting the YouTube of the individual I was watching up so I could say who that is properly. It's my doppelganger.
You have a doppelganger?
He did look a lot like
it's you. What I needed. And the dude, what's funny is he looked kind of like me. He sounded like Hobbs. And together, that's what I needed to understand Go concurrency.
Are we recording? I've seen that dude. We are.
Excellent.
So yeah, you could go.
Now
let
I can talk
out.
About Go. All right, here we go.
Wait, I'm gonna hold you up. We have
a guest. No, that's good.
We have a guest. Not really a guest. We have a lofty. Justin, have you been on the podcast with us before?
No. I think there was one like the first lab day.
Okay. Not with me, but yeah, I wasn't there that day, but well, cool. So Justin's with us. Justin's one of the lofty folks and, someone's watching our own live stream. Right there.
Yeah, turn that off.
And you're one of our, few, but growing remote team. So he's not in the studio with us. We got him coming from the outside. So thanks for coming on with us. This should be a whole lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Alan.
Here I am.
Go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
It's good.
I've got a routine for this.
All right. Let's hear it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right. Now I'm too far.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, dabbling with some Go concurrency and thus the Go routines and thus the sappy jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is good.
It is. Yeah. So it's, you know, they're actually really simple, but like sometimes explaining something that's really simple maybe is complicated or I complicate it in my mind and think that, oh, this can't be like that easy. But I found a video series that dude does on Golang who looks like, you know, he's one of my people with the beard and such.
See, I see.
Donald
I find
Fury, I think is his name.
Donald Fury?
Yeah. I may be saying that wrong. Sorry about that, Donald, if you ever find your way here.
Or whatever your name is.
Yeah.
I think he's solid on the Donald. I don't think he's worried about if he's saying Donald.
I know a Donald. I find doppelgangers of you all the time, but I never bring them up and send them to you because I feel like it could be insensitive. You're like,
I kind of appreciate that, I guess. Yeah.
That's just a guy with a beard. I don't look like every guy with a beard.
This long. Yeah. Yeah, well, this guy, you know, Donald, he sounds like he's from the southern regions as well of the United States. And so that, you know, same accent and everything. But yeah, you know, just watching him walk through a thing. Because, like, so what I'm trying to do is upload a bunch of files really quickly, and I want to use all the cores on your machine to do it if I can. And then I've got like horizontally scaled Flask servers out there that will intercept these guys, pass them on to S3. And so I think, okay, well, I can iterate over the file paths, throw a function in there that uploads these guys, and then put go in front of it. Boom, go routine. Look at the go. Huh, see what it did? And then nothing happens, though. And you're like, oh, why? Did it go so fast? Was it that fast? It went
so fast you never saw it.
Yeah, so there's some little gotchas in there.
It shot the files out the back of the S3 bucket.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining. It just went right through the sucker. They're not even in there.
It's just like a hole and a pillar of light coming down in US East One in a data center.
Jeff Bezos looking down from the shuttle or whatever.
Yeah, he almost hit his spaceship.
Yeah. I think that went right through S3. And so come to find out, you know, in Go, like, everything's a Go routine, basically. And so then whenever you put Go in front of a function that you're calling, you're saying, okay, cool, here's another Go routine. So basically then the main Go routine takes that and throws that in the background and goes, awesome, what's next? And so if you don't have anything next, then it goes, cool, so we're done here. And doesn't care what the other dude in the background was doing and just shuts him off.
Shuts the whole thing.
Like, damn. Yeah, we're done. We're done here. Yeah, so there's some routing that you do. You could do with channels, and so I was diving into that and figuring out how to use those guys.
Do you need like some sort of dispatcher to be monitoring the work of all the channels
sort of
keeps the whole thing alive until everybody's done?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. So there's like so you have this concept of a channel, it's just a data type, and then you pass that into the function. And so instead of returning something, you have this declaration with an arrow just to insert that into the channel memory. And then outside of that process, then you can monitor that. But then you have another data type that's a selection, I think is what it is. It's select. It's like a case statement, basically. But it's specifically for channels because you'll run into like some stuff where it won't know what channel like you're wanting, and then it'll get deadlocked. And then that's also not good. Then it just sits there and does nothing.
Fucking concurrency, man.
It's tough, man. I know.
Yeah, it's a lot of damn work.
It is. It's a lot to wrap your head around.
I'm not envious of it.
Yeah.
It's no secret my hatred of JavaScript.
Yeah.
But even JavaScript async is not quite like server-side async, though.
No.
Or maybe it just makes more sense to me in the browser. Is that what it is?
It could be. I mean, you know, I guess in JavaScript's defense, the promise thing is a pretty intuitive kind of architecture once you've used it a few times. And I think that's where I was lacking in Go. It's more like you have to build your own promises. But once you do and you understand that, then it makes sense and they're really powerful. You know, what you can do with them.
I wonder if there are any other, like, high... Because, well, I can't speak for you. I speak for myself. I don't do a lot of Go. When I dabble in it, I'm usually working very low level with the standard library. Mm. And I'm not super familiar with the open source ecosystem. Mm. And anytime I'm working in a new language that I don't know the open source ecosystem, I'm like accomplishing something. I'm like, there's probably some like well-known library that everyone uses that like solves this problem generally, you know? And it'd be like doing the same thing, like, but with like doing RabbitMQ in Python, like from scratch,
right,
like looking at the RabbitMQ docs, like, yeah, I'm going to make a task queuing system.
I'm gonna make celery.
Celery's over in the background, yeah, like, hey, asshole, we've got this solved. I don't know if there's something in Go managing that or not.
Well, I think that's a big part of it's just in Go. Like, once you know how to use it, that's what it's got, you know, the channel, it's specifically a data type to set aside some mutable memory that can be shared. And then the select is specifically a case statement for that channel or for whichever channel just got updated. Like, for instance, you know, if I'm asynchronously uploading files, I'm waiting for the response and then I want to print out that response. Right. Then it might not know which channel it needs to print. So then that's where that select comes in. They can say, if it's this channel that got updated, do that. Otherwise, print this guy. So I got them twice as fast is the fun, interesting thing of the story.
Twice as fast? That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I can make it three times as fast, theoretically. Six times as fast.
Infinitely as fast.
Yeah, infinitely as fast.
Scales as wide as your processor and or wallet?
Yeah, up to a limit of also like when I first was playing around with it, I was throwing the stuff in the background. It would run through quite a few of them. It's like 300, 400 files I'm trying to upload, you know, sub 5 minutes if possible.
Yep.
And they're
pretty big files, right? These are high.
They're high quality JPEGs.
Yeah. So maybe like,
you know, it's probably
10 megs or something like that.
I think total it's three digits of megs for all of them.
Well, I meant for individual.
Oh, for
photos,
individual yeah. ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So like before I was outputting that, it just runs to the background and then would throw out this weird error, too many files open, and come to find out that's a Go thing.
Oh yeah. Well, you'll have OS level file handler limits.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that you could run into.
And I think Go has some in there as well, yeah. That cause I'm also doing some checksum, calculations on it before I send them up. So then I'm opening the file for that and to put it in a form to upload it like that.
Got it.
Yeah.
So that's cool, man.
You said you've got the Flask apps up there scaling. How are you determining, like, what's the determining factor for scalability on the server side? Like, how are you?
So they're in a Kubernetes cluster, with a ingress controller in front of them, load balancing to them. And then on the Go side, you can call response body close, and then it's supposed to close the connection and open a brand new connection to it. So then I imagine the load balancer round robins to the next one.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're not just like auto spinning up on demand.
No.
They can probably handle a shitload of concurrent connections.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember off the top of my head, but UWSGI,
yeah.
Or WSGI, I assume it's WSGI in front of Flask.
It can handle some workers probably per, I forget what the underlying hardware is underneath the cluster for those guys. M5s?
Probably M5s.
Yeah.
M5 largest.
We got two cores. Can't remember.
Fuck, I don't know. Yeah. We just throw more at it. I forget now.
Yeah. We've been spoiled a little bit. Yeah.
It's pretty nice, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
People can ask now, like, where are, what servers, what are, I'm just like, I don't know. They used to have names.
Yeah.
And personalities, yeah. And they're like, where is this app? And I was like, would you like to come see Homer? They live on Homer. There's Homer in the corner.
Look at him blinking.
He's a little bit bitchy in the morning, that Homer. He gets a little overloaded with the morning rush. Now it's just, now it's truly cattle rather than
X
pets.
X number of
I don't know. It's
servers.
Out there in a barn somewhere and it'll be dead tomorrow.
But a new one will replace it and grow back.
So yeah, I was talking with Hobbs about that. We were looking at, we're working through an issue with Datadog,
mm-hmm.
Within one of our clusters, and he was wanting to go change the configuration, and he was raging against Rancher because he's like, I can't find the place to go change this configuration. The only way I can do it is to kill it and build a new one. And I was just like, yeah, that's basically by design. Like, that's so highly
disposable,
cattle not pets, yeah. That they don't want you to go modify that workload. They want you to just destroy it and build a new one with the configuration
from the config,
want.
Right? So that, because otherwise you have like evolving configuration that's
exactly.
not captured, right?
Exactly. So they want it captured within the thing, and so the best way to do that is to go fully into the disposability kind of mindset with servers and services, and just destroy it and redeploy it with a new helm with similar help chart but new configuration that's all saved within the Rancher UI.
Yep.
Which I'm sure is just some JSON served somewhere.
And that's not a Rancher thing necessarily. That's just like DevOps got together at some point and said, that's how we're going to do it. Because Terraform, to a certain extent, is that way. Mm. Although you can write like delta changes in Terraform.
Can you?
To some extent, you can modify
and
some.
And save the state of it.
You could, but like the like kind of accepted best practices, you know, Terraform, create and destroy,
yeah.
You know, tear it down,
destroy
and,
the world.
Cloud, yeah. Not CloudWatch, but CloudFormation.
Yeah,
same kind of way,
same
right?
kind of deal. Yeah,
just that's how it rolls.
I have to say, those are probably my favorite naming conventions of all the tools.
The cloud,
Terraform, and CloudFormation, and all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are fun.
Pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. They capture.
We named some things, some pretty stupid things sometimes in the tech industry. But
Google should have stuck with the Borg on Kubernetes. Yeah. I think that would have been good.
Not sure why they changed. I guess they didn't want to fight with Paramount. Maybe. That's probably what it was.
They'd have won.
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
You can do it, yeah.
Yeah.
They are the Borg.
Yeah. that might be the other reason they didn't want to.
Distracting us from the fact that
it was a little too real for them.
A little on the nose.
We don't want them to know. But we're saving that.
Assimilation is feudal. That's feudal and subtle.
That's for the holding company over the holding company. Yeah.
It's like when somebody eventually gets brave enough to name their product Skynet. I don't know when we'll get there. Someone's going to do it.
I have thoughts about Skynet as always, but I was looking at some AutoML tools, and I don't know if you guys have explored the AutoML space.
But, not in a while, but
you know, it's neural nets writing neural nets, which is a scary thought in and of itself, but it's also kind of interesting, particularly for people like us that don't have. You know, we're working in a lot of data science adjacent products, kind of leveraging our customers' knowledge. But we are not currently staffing any data scientists,
right.
Except maybe hobbyists to some extent. And so AutoML is kind of an interesting thing of like, give me some labeled data, and then we'll have a neural network pick an algorithm for you. And back test it.
Yeah.
And like,
interesting.
Say, like, hey, we came up with a k-means algorithm that does this. And so I was looking into it because for certain types of AI applications, that could actually be something that we put to work somewhere. You know what I mean? I wouldn't put it in any, like, you don't want to drive a car with an AutoML generated model, at least not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
That's good old. That's worthy of good old bespoke artisanal handcrafted AI, I would say.
Yeah. Need a data scientist or two looking at that somewhere.
But you know, like if you've got a website that's just like pictures of people's elbows and you want to recommend other elbows you might like.
Right.
That's actually really
low level open CV type stuff. Cause that's I've dove in
that's
quite
elbow.io.
A bit.
Elbow.io.
But I don't understand how you make
elbow.ai.
Elbow.ai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you make the cascade models though. And so that would be able to make your own like cascade models that then you could use to detect elbows or anything else. Like I've done the ones with pre-existing models to detect my eyeballs and my mouth and stuff. And so on a live image of myself, it would draw like green boxes
around you.
Yeah. But that's using, you know, somebody else's data model that they'd already
trained up. They got them a big old box of eyeballs.
They did.
Trained the model with it.
Yeah, a lot more eyeballs than I had.
Just sitting there with your phone, taking selfies in the bathroom, and Lisa's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I'm training an AI model.
Just gotta get from this thing.
This is my private place.
This is where I think.
What's funny
and the machine thinks too.
You mentioned the auto AI or auto ML. Just this morning, I was running with some guys, and someone brought up basically like AI, self-replicating AI. And for some reason, the thought came into my mind. I was like, man, I'm glad that the non-tech entertainment world hasn't found out about quines. Because quine is a really cool word. And I'm pretty sure if someone latched onto the concept of there's this thing called a quine and it's software that writes more software, like that's going to be a terrible movie called Quine.
Quine.
Yeah. And
it's a good name for a movie though.
Oh, yeah. It is, but it's going to be a terrible movie because there's nothing entertaining about a quine.
But you just put it out there.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I'm sorry if I brought that on us, but I just found it funny that like just this morning.
Paramount is still listening. Yeah, the whole Borg thing earlier. We're sorry. Yeah. But there's an idea for you. We'll take it out and trade.
It's going to be a Star Trek movie. The next Star Trek movie will be Star Trek Quine.
Quine.
Self-replicating Borg, which I think Borg already does.
Yeah.
So. No, they assimilate. They can replicate. It's the next evolution. That's why they're like a virus. Yeah. They need living life forms to insert technology into.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a Borg killer, a replicating Borg-like, the anti-Borg, if you will.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what that would be if that was already, we're self-replicating. That's...
Yeah, I was thinking like more along the lines of maybe a little faster, just concurrent replication.
Right.
We're at the Star Trek fanfic portion of the
podcast. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
whoever's left.
Justin, welcome your thought on the Borg. Please, any input you have. Yeah. Very welcome.
I'm kind of a bad nerd. I'm not a Star Trek fan.
That's okay. So, I'm not a huge.
There are no bad nerds here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Safe place.
Yeah.
Now the people in the comments might disagree, but fuck them.
Yeah. They don't get a microphone here.
Mm-mm.
Is there?
I don't hear them. You hear them?
Is there a particular space that you do lean deep into the nerd though? That you're willing to discuss, and commit to disc. Yeah,
he's thinking.
So, yeah. Oh, we're not here to nerd shame you. You're fine.
Yeah, no, it's a safe place.
I don't know. I'm not really into like a lot of the mainstream stuff, like Star Wars. I've never been into Star Wars either.
See, I know there's a lot of. We've talked about this on the show a bunch. That there's a lot of the whole. You're either Star Wars or Star Trek, and Alan.
I'm both.
He can handle both.
I've got a shirt somewhere that is a combination of the Enterprise morphed with the Millennium Falcon. It's a bastard of a thing that represents how I feel about sci-fi. Like, why not all of it?
Yeah.
All, you know.
Justin is now your counter. He is neither.
He is neither.
Yes, yeah. he is the yin to my yang.
He is AB positive and Alan is O negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll receive any sci-fi.
Did I get that right? You're the universal donor. You work with everything.
Yeah.
And Justin's compatible with a very specific type.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking. Well,
we put him on the spot.
We
there.
Did.
Yeah.
His
yeah.
one.
Sorry, drug you into that one.
Yeah. Even obscure, you know, obscure sci-fi, some Cowboy Bebop or something. That's like that. Mm-hmm. Akira.
I don't know. I'm
still trying to figure out what that's about.
I think the people who wrote it are too.
Yeah. It's got motorcycles.
I only watched a very little bit of both Akira and Cowboy Bebop.
I like Cowboy Bebop.
You guys know I'm not a huge anime fan. That's where I will diverge in the nerdery for sure.
I like my anime if it's cyberpunk. Like once it's just full on samurai, I'm kind of like, I know why people like it, and that's good for them. But yeah, I also don't like everything, but you know, it's okay.
I have a hunch.
Hmm.
I have a hunch that Justin streams, and I haven't confronted that hunch anymore. I think he streams. I think he's a game streamer, and I'm not going to make him like out his tag if he is actually a streamer.
No.
He's not. Am I wrong?
No.
Dang it! I was so sure.
What was this basis?
Two things. Okay. One, the chair, because it looks like a solid quality streaming chair. Yeah. It's just a good chair. That's all I mean by that. And number two was when Justin first joined. Lofty. In fact, this was a cool milestone for Lofty because I met Justin after he had already been hired, which was one of the first. Maybe Trent was the other person. We're the only two people at Lofty that Tyrell hired and was like, "I can't wait to meet you on your first day." That's fucking weird. And so I met Justin and he came in and you came in on two channels in the Zoom channel. You had your video on one and your screen share on the other. And I was like, "Oh, he's got the streaming rig. That's what that is. He's got the side computer over there." That's where it came from. I thought he was going to be like a pro Apex Legends player, sleeper millionaire.
No,
he's actually,
he writes code for fun.
Well,
I think I tried streaming, I don't know, for like a month or something, like several years ago.
This is the closest we've ever gotten. We're trying it right now.
Indeed.
Probably not going well. We'll have to poll the audience if they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think someone's supposed to look for that.
Oh, yeah. I'll go see. Maybe people are talking in the comments. How optimistic am I being?
Very optimistic.
Most optimistic. Right. We haven't even dropped this in the NWA channel or
it's
something.
Just Big Chris over there watching and heckling.
Oh he's on Twitter.
No, he's listening now. Well, Daniel Worthy's listening, and he's a fan of Firefly. He came in with a Star Trek sucks, Firefly heart.
Wow.
Nice.
We've got actual interactions.
Thank you, Daniel.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, I'm extra nervous because it's live and there's at least one person.
You have audience?
No, that's awesome.
Worthy, like, and we know Worthy and he's been on the podcast. So
yeah. I love it. That's a common one. Firefly, like Star Trek sucks, Firefly. And I get it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, I get what that's solving. Picard kind of leaned into Firefly a little bit. Maybe a little too much. I don't know, but I liked it.
The TV show, not the
character. Right. Yes. Yes.
I got really confused for a second.
I didn't watch all of Picard, but did it go kind of Western? Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, it did. Okay. Yeah. Definitely more Western than Star Trek, but kind of interesting how they built the world. Like they said, that they kind of set it up in a way that it transformed into that. Like there was no other way it could go, you know, which... I've heard arguments about Star Trek that it's too utopian, you know. That's a part of what turns some folks off. And Next Generation,
because they have the replicators, right?
Utopian, so
post scarcity.
Yeah, exactly.
Have to worry about food, right?
Yeah, the only scarcity would be dilithium, and so that's kind of what's neat in the newer Star Treks, like in Discovery and everything. They've proposed an idea of what if dilithium was gone? Then now you're back to scarcity, because that was the only thing that powered. I'm going super nerd now. Powered the replicators. It's like you can use dark matter against matter, and so it's an infinite amount of power theoretically, as long as you have the crystals.
The perpetual motion device.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to bore Justin and Worthy and say, please explain dilithium, because I have no concept of that. I've trekked this much.
It's two lithiums.
Two lithiums.
I'm just
because it's dye.
Yeah.
So it's two lithium molecules.
Sounds like
something. I'm gonna roll with that.
Grunge rockers would be into
going real hardcore with it. It's basically it's a
lithium joke. Come on.
No, I get it. But you play it, at the same time.
Yeah.
At two different BPMs, and it overlaps every fourth measure.
Yeah, it's lithium. It's kind of like it. Yeah. It's.
Told you.
It's the crystal.
Get your music out of here. I'm still talking Star Trek.
It's the crystal that you need to focus like the beam projection through, and then to be able to collide matter and antimatter together. Like, you know, it's the thing.
Oh, so you need... I thought you were saying that antimatter and matter, that was a alternative to dilithium. But dilithium is part of the reaction.
Yes, to be able to utilize that. Got it. Yep.
I'll say something controversial, because I like Stoke and Fires.
Sure.
But I feel like Firefly... I'm sorry, Daniel. This is like coming in so hot on him. And I'm old school, so I still have the DVD box set of Firefly.
Yeah.
I've seen it many times, and I enjoy it. I just
Serenity's
feel,
all right,
Serenity, I didn't like get into. That's a movie I never bought or watched more than once, I don't think. I feel like that's a really easy show to like, though.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it was so short, right? You didn't have to love its ugly babies like you do longer running shows.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Where you really have to really appreciate something to see past its flaws.
Yeah.
And Firefly was
ugly.
Yeah, it was mostly
just
right the whole time.
Yeah.
They didn't have to like. You know, short run, didn't get sideways. That's all.
I'm a huge fan of the one season. Like of a TV show, one season, maybe two. Anything else though, you're just like, we have to keep the lights on. Yeah. We have to keep the machine printing.
You're gonna jump
money.
A shark at some point.
And you're gonna, there's gonna be a quality loss.
Yeah,
you're gonna like some
just
writers.
Like happy
are gonna,
days, you couldn't have happy days on forever. Yeah.
You're gonna have some writers who say like, oh well, this is not my art anymore. This doesn't represent me. So they leave, and then somebody else comes on, and then it like,
And they're like, do you like to eat? So cool, make content.
Yes.
And then they're like, okay.
Make it sound like that dude that just left, though.
Yeah, the best you can.
Network TV were like the original venture capitalist. It's like, double it, double it, double it, double it, double it. Why aren't you doubling it? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here, you're fired.
Yeah.
One season, two at most.
So how did you feel about Patriot then, which I haven't finished? I haven't started the second season. I can't bring myself to it.
Yeah.
Because I knew that it got canceled. And I feel like what's going to happen is... as that show does, it's just a string of down endings that ends on a down ending, and I never get out of it.
And then there's resolution.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. I don't know if I can get there.
I'm there with you. I finished out the first season, but I'm afraid I got to be in
I'm sitting there, he's watching the train, and I'm just like, I think I'm just going to let this sit here for a couple years. I'm okay with how this ended, kind of.
Where I'm at.
That's where that's the good and the bad is... The first season, I think, would have ended well. The second season, I think they got ahead of steam, and they're just like, we're going to get a third.
So we'll leave. That's what I was afraid.
Yeah,
and right. So the ending is
run,
not...
You got a dangling
they made a
there.
Problem they, that they couldn't, yeah, that they didn't have
they
time to
get
solve.
Themselves out of that. There's another Amazon show that did that. It was Sneaky Pete. Have you guys seen Sneaky Pete?
I love Sneaky Pete. Yeah.
The first season was great. And I'm just like, that was awesome. And they're just like, season two. And I'm just like, what? I'm sorry. Did you see how season one ended? How is there another season?
Like they all found out who he is. And
it's And then all of a sudden, here's season two. And then I think there's a season three. I think so.
I'd heard that it was on.
They keep solving unsolvable problems. Mm-hmm. Because apparently the most unsolvable problem is getting money.
Yeah,
and when they get that money, they're just like, "Oh, we'll figure out how to get around that."
Yeah,
we can write around that.
Do some more of that getting money.
We kill them. Guess what? He's not really dead. It was a dream. Roseanne.
Yeah.
Boom.
Someone said money doesn't solve problems. Mm. They were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Roseanne. God damn it! You had to bring that up.
And Roseanne, then you get the Connors. You know,
I haven't watched the Connors, but Roseanne is a show. I grew up in blue collar rural Arkansas.
Yeah. I know.
My mom was Roseanne Barr. And my dad is John Goodman. That's a great show. I'm sure not everyone appreciates it.
The last season, though, they lost me on it, though. As soon as they became rich, I was like, why am I watching
completely
this?
There's
plenty of rich people I can watch.
Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't watch that a whole lot. I know enough about it, and I've watched some. The last season of the original series run.
They win the lottery.
Yeah, they jumped a shark with Roseanne writing. Idea. Yeah, they won the lottery. That's what it was. Lottery. Like Publishers Clearinghouse,
the blue collar dream.
Let's be clear.
Hillbilly's dream.
That is not the lottery. That is Publishers Clearinghouse. They are very different things.
You know, but anyway, whatever they won, it was a contest for an arbitrary amount of money.
They win a bunch of money, and then they couldn't get out from under that, and so it turns out it was
Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah. It's just poor people trying to look like they're sophisticated and stuff. We already had that, and it was great.
The thing about that show was, as a person who grew up poor, is like it was, and I know it was written by a bunch of not poor people. Mm-hmm. It's not lost on me, but they had some amount of context because they got it so right.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and so they had that there, and then. It was it was relatable, I guess, in a really direct way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the minute they made them all rich, it suddenly became now something. I used to relate to it. Now it's making fun of me.
Yeah.
It's look what happens when we take these poor, dumbass, blue collar idiots and we give them a bunch of money and they can't figure out how to solve money problems. And it's just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know?
And it felt like it was people that I would aspire to be what's it like to be those people? And it used to be, I know what it's like to be those people.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because they're on TV. That's my reflection.
And they realized they fucked that up. So they made it all a dream.
Yeah.
We have a new guest on the show.
That's my favorite point of any call.
Oh, I love
with
it.
Justin.
I love it. I know.
When shows up.
That is the biggest lapdog ever, and it reminds me of Hodges quite a bit. Hodges is like that. He used to do that more so, and he's gotten older now, and I'm making him lay over in the corner. Where get over there? Get over there, old man.
For those who can't see because they're listening,
for the podcast,
Justin, please, you can describe Luda, but Justin's dog just climbed into his lap. And she always climbs in and then goes to her back. And I'll often just see her paws sticking up in front of him in webcam calls. And it's how you know Luna's arrived because there's just paws in the shot with him. It's great.
I love it. It's very comforting, though. Yeah. It's like she's his calming animal, my calming animal.
Yeah.
Just everyone's calm now.
Yeah.
That's for everyone.
How old is Luna?
She's about 3.5.
Nice. Yeah.
So, still a baby.
Yeah.
I can't tell because Zoom is attempting to, it's not sure if she's background or not. So she got blurred, but is she a German Shepherd? No, I see better.
Yeah. She's a Belgian Malinois, 75% Belgian and then 25% German Shepherd.
Okay. Oh, so she does have, I saw the markings, but definitely smaller than a German, I would say.
Yeah.
That's great. She's just staring at you.
I know.
And I had a miniature poodle that used to sit on my shoulders while I would work. She would climb up in my chair and she was only 15 to 20 pounds. So she was just the right length to drape over. Kind of looked like I was wearing a fur or something. She was real fuzzy and she put her head around the thing and it just looked like I'm sitting there with my
feather boa.
Yeah, with my boa, my dog boa. And she would lay up there all day until I was like, you broke my neck. Maybe why my shoulders all fucked up.
Yeah, probably.
Did that for a couple of years.
It's already hard enough to feel on keyboards like that.
Poodle boa. It was something. I recommend it.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get one that does that.
A poodle boa.
Poodle boa.
Seems relaxing.
Yeah.
Like a heating pad.
To clarify, I'm talking about a live one.
They provide more heat.
Let's just light everybody on fire today. Who have we pissed off?
Yeah, it's been a while.
PETA's mad. Yeah, Paramount's
time
mad.
Time to check the YouTube streams again.
Yeah, we don't
Daniel
know.
Worthy's mad. Yeah. everyone who likes Firefly's mad. We're doing good. That's pretty good.
We'll
get a dashboard on the wall.
Yeah. We'll check them off. Check them off there.
Man.
Yeah, I know. I came in hot on the go, and
we programmed, we coded hard. I was like, "How do we make this back about coding?" Again?
I know. But, I was just like, "Go, yeah." It's pretty cool.
I'm still not used to doing this live thing. This is very strange, and I don't mean live like the live stream. That's strange too, but I'll get over it. But the person in the flesh, and who knows how long we get to keep doing that? But I'll stay out of that.
Yeah, we don't want to piss off, quite everyone.
Let's talk politics.
Yeah, I know.
Just send this bitch right into fucking orbit. Let's deorbit this thing.
Let's just make it like family Thanksgiving.
What's the Star Trek conversations like at your family Thanksgiving? Is there any... Got any drunk uncles that come in and start?
Yeah, my uncle's a Star Wars fan, and that would be awesome, though.
Talking shit on Riker.
Yeah. My family is a little bit like, my mom's a Star Wars fan. She gets that a lot more and used to buy me Star Wars toys. My dad would buy me Star Trek toys, and we definitely understand Star Trek more. So there's a little bit of that, a little bit, but not like quite so much a rivalry, just this kind of... The other side looking at the other one going, I don't really get that.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, I don't understand the force and all that. That's weird. And then, mom's like, well, I like Leia's hair. And it's like,
She's got Danishes on her ears. Uh-huh. I haven't, Henry's not been introduced to Star. I don't know. What's the appropriate age for Star Trek?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Probably, it's kind of, I remember watching it with my grandpa when I was younger and being like, this is... It was the same as Jag. Couldn't tell them apart. You know what I mean?
I remember boring AF. Watching the first episode with my dad, and when they do the saucer separation on Next Generation, that was cool. But I remember he was way more excited about it than I was. So it takes a while.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because so much of it is like kind of playing more like a soap opera.
Absolutely.
Sense, right?
Yeah, it's people having conversations in rooms.
Yeah, just sitting down and around a table and having a drink and working through their issues. Space, as a kid, I was like, couldn't get into that. Star Wars has the adventure,
the lasers,
the spoon fed, often, the sound. Yeah,
here's the bad guy, and then it's good stuff.
Henry, like,
I'm getting Emberly into it.
See, he very like intuitively understands Star Wars. He just gets it. Like the second he looks at it, he's like, "This is for me."
Yeah.
And
the bad guy, but I like him. Mm-hmm. You're like, I know, right?
He's all about some Vader.
Yeah,
all about some Vader.
Yeah,
he scares himself with Vader. It's one of those things that's like, it burns too hot.
Yeah. That's good about Vader.
Yeah. He does that a lot, actually. That's like kind of his new thing is like, let's do this. Let's play this game. But it's like he wants me to be like a scary monster or something. I'm like, all right, I'm a scary monster. Bah! And he's just like, oh, fuck, that was way too scary. It's like, what? You told me to do it.
Apparently we need... In the stream, an increase of me and Alan.
Oh,
really? Well, audio?
Yes,
of the audio variety.
Well, I mean, I don't think you can increase me.
Maybe they just want me to shut the fuck up.
I don't think you can increase us in video. I mean, you zoom in on Alan.
Which one am I? Where do I go?
I love that we're getting in a new direction.
I know.
It's good.
There's some Alan.
There I am.
There's more.
Hope that's enough.
Give me some Tyrell.
Oh, here I am. I think. Not me.
You're peaking.
With my microphone is kind of in the way, but we're live.
We're live debugging our audio engineering setup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's an interesting effect. Daniel can only hear Alan and I through your mic, Casey.
Wow.
Well, that's really fucking bizarre.
It is.
Oh,
we thought we'd figured out the stream.
No.
That's give us our $100 back,
no,
Soundflower.
Kidding. Yeah.
Soundflower used to be.
How did that get so messed up? Well, we'll sort that out on the flip side.
Just keep talking about the problem in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah.
And just really,
it's very meta.
Just lean into the nonsense of it.
You know, Tyrell produces the podcast.
That's
now,
true.
So if you're hearing this, it was his mistake.
It's totally my fault.
Yeah.
Everything about it. I'll take it.
I produced the live stream, though, and I'll take credit for whatever terrible thing's happening there. But we will fix it in post because I've got good audio on the board and we'll re upload it.
I like that.
Yes. And we save that to a cord.
That's right.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Don't want to have to not have a podcast like we've done before.
We've done that before. Man, this is super meta, but you know, this is episode 101. We did episode 100.
We let that one marinate.
Yeah, that's right. We did that with big fanfare. Yeah. Holy shit, it's episode 100. We released a teaser. We got everyone together live in the studio. And we went big and it was a great show. And then we're just like, what's a podcast?
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
We're back now. It's hard to, it's like starting over in a lot of ways.
Kind of. I mean, it's like the season two thing, right? Like now I feel
you're saying we should have gone out on a big ending and that should have been the end of it?
No, but I don't think that was the big ending. I mean, really, like how many episodes are in the old school season though? Like 20?
20 something.
Oh, well then, yeah, we're on like.
Yeah, that was a ton of episodes in old
seasons.
They
would do two seasons a year and they would like have a gap, right? In the summer and winter and stuff. So if it was weekly, there's 26 weeks or there's 52 weeks a year. So I don't know. Maybe it was like 18. Mm. 18 weeks of
20-ish, each of the season,
somewhere in there.
Well, then this is a new dynamic that we need to work out, and we'll just kind of like speak to it here. Is just say, okay, so we obviously want to bring, we want the live element, but we want to bring folks like Justin in.
Right.
How do we bring Justin in accurately, especially when it's like the three of us in the room, we're just going to blather on like old men and annoy folks. And then Justin's just like, hey, I've got something to say about that, but we've already moved on.
Yeah.
So how do we bring in virtual guests?
More. Get them more in there. I don't know. It's tough.
We're podcasting about podcasting now.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's no topic.
Leave your suggestions in the comments, please. Yeah.
Do you know how many YouTubers like YouTube about YouTubing?
There's
a shitload of that.
I've not seen.
It's like
I've not been on YouTube or YouTube.
You haven't gone deep enough.
Yeah.
It's
quite a bit of
you come out in the Tesseract and you just. You just see yourself replicated in four dimensions.
It's like Interstellar.
Exactly. Yeah, the Interstellar Tesseract, to be clear. We can see you, Justin. We do have visuals on you over here. But, you know, we have noticed this in the past. This is true. When we're live and we've got someone on Zoom, you're fighting against like a 30-millisecond delay that is really actually difficult to get in between these loudmouth motherfuckers that just keep going.
Yeah. We've been around each other a lot.
You can just be aggressive and yell, hey!
Yeah.
I got something to say. And there's those buttons. You can also raise your hand if you want. Post the poop emoji in Zoom. Maybe that's what we need. We need an actual producer that's like, can you all shut the fuck up? The guest has something to say.
I think there is something to be said for having a producer to kind of
direct it, or even a director of somebody to kind of guide the thing.
Well, especially when we get the multicam set up, someone's got to be driving all that.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Let's make Big Chris do it.
Yep.
Let's see if he's live streaming.
Is he in the stream to object?
I don't think so.
He seems most capable.
Yeah, he's on Instagram right now.
I just said law. I was reading comments and I wanted to respond. Law, and it just came out. Just came out words.
You lulled in real life.
Bobby Lee says, drinking game, fix it in post. and we're drunk.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah.
My mic. So this is again.
Let's just lean into it.
Yeah.
It's all meta now. You guys, this is behind the scenes.
So this mic stand is sinking. And I'm trying to be comfortable, but also stay in the microphone. And I am like slowly fading into my
adapting.
You were just like,
I'm not,
to it.
Yeah, like I'm not on Xanax. The microphone is moving.
Super and casual. I'm trying to
as a stay very with large it. Lavalier mic, sir.
Yes. I'm about to just have to take it off and wrap it around my hand.
Yeah.
You kind of look like
hold it like a.
You kind of look like
a metal band.
Elon Musk on Joe Rogan. Just like it's starting to, is that kicking in yet over there?
Yep.
Yeah.
So no, I warned you that mic stands.
Yeah. Why don't we mute so I can lift my mic? Which mute me.
You're gone. And that's how we get rid of Tyrell. Fortunately for the streamers, Tyrell was never there, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still can't wrap my mind around how that's possible.
No, I know.
These three mics are bonded in a
because we see them here. But
do you want back in?
Yeah, I'll come back in.
All right, cool.
Here we are.
I think there's a place for bringing in someone to kind of help direct things as we want to continue to grow. Because that was my thinking. You know, we took some time off, and again, this is like meta podcasting about our podcast, whatever. It's more entertaining than some of the other things we've talked about, that's for sure.
Hey,
covered food yet.
From once a week to bi-weekly and took a couple months off at several different points. I feel like the people listening now we got the hardcore fans.
Yeah, we did it on purpose. We purged filtered them out. All the
that we got all the fucking basics out, folks, we can have a heart-to-heart about what this show needs to be, because we want to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, on some level, need to change for a couple of reasons, because the world has changed. But also, like, we got to stay interested.
Yep.
We've been doing this for over 2 years. I think we're coming up on 3 years.
I mean, that's 100 episodes is quite a bit.
Shitload of episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually people have, you know, producers by now.
Yeah, they're coming up with an itinerary
That's how you get to 100 episodes.
Someone takes
control.
Someone calling the shots and throwing stuff out and pulling folks in and kind of directing in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
I think there's a benefit to that we could gain from.
Mm.
And it's a different, and that's one thing, and I was talking with Big Chris about this today. We'll jump to the food portion now. Life hack. If you sign up for the Red Robin Rewards program, every birthday month, you get a free Red Robin burger.
Yep.
And you go get yourself a free $14 burger from Red Robin, and you eat like a king. And I did that today because this is my birth month. And nice. Drug Big Chris.
Say, guess what he's high on right now? Burger.
All the burger.
All the burger. Nice, yep.
But on our way there, we were talking about like the kind of direction things are going as Lofty continues to grow. And like, change becomes necessary as like the company itself changes, the context around the company, and like the world in general and all that stuff. And so there's a place where change is necessary, not because what we did before was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that what we did before might not fit with where we are now. And we have to be willing to recognize that and shift, rather than going like, no, we did it that way forever. We got to keep doing it that way.
Right.
Is Tyrell trying to tell me I need to watch my language on the show? Because I won't do it.
Like that we all jump to the insecurities.
Everybody's like, what am I doing?
Tyrell's saying it's just like, so we got canceled.
we've been demonetized on YouTube already.
I don't want to say whose fault it is.
It rhymes with Schmacy.
Not my place.
Now we got to have a director.
We've been hoping the boss would get rid of him.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you know, it's like, you know, the strongest survive. No, it's the most adaptable. You know, I mean, you have to be open to change, and change as things happen, and growth is natural. And yeah, you know, what works when it's like three or four dudes going like, we'll probably do like three of these before we get tired of it. No one will listen. So who cares? This is fun. And
it's a lesson we can all learn from the coronavirus, I think. Ebola comes in going, I'll just be the strongest, and it burns itself out.
Yep.
The coronavirus, it's got some staying power.
It's adapting, apparently.
It changed. The world started to change, and it said, I'm going to change too, so that I have some staying power, and y'all can have me around for another year. We're going to try and be more like the coronavirus.
So, on that note, I did get some feedback from some listeners that Lab Day was okay. Play Along, when we all played Dominion together, was really fun.
Okay.
And,
I can do that again.
Please Don't Live Deploy Together Again.
That wasn't fun.
He said the only thing that was fun about it was like listening to us and trying to figure out the stuff that we were talking very like cryptically about, because we were dealing with like client information and hearing us try and like talk around it.
Yeah.
He said like that was the fun part. He said, I swear there was at least 30 seconds of silence, and I went like, wait, is the podcast broke? And I looked, it was still going. And you guys had just shut up because you were trying to fix something.
Well, what I did was I edited that episode. Okay. And I came up with...
You added more silence to just like dramatic effect.
No, I actually ended up... I found a plugin for our DAW. That would identify silence, and I rigged that together with a couple other things and some macros, and ended up slicing out and selecting every bit of silence that was over, I don't know, some threshold.
So it was even worse. Yeah.
No, I cut it out.
Yeah, but I mean, it would have been even worse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was way worse.
Yeah.
I think I took 2.5 hours of audio and cut it down to like 52 minutes that. That's how much silence I cut out of that thing. It was an experiment.
It was.
And we actually said that. I was like, this is a content experiment. This is, you know, we're the Frank Zappa of podcasts right
now. Plus, we had infrastructure down. So, yeah, I mean, what you gonna do?
It was time to record the podcast, and we nuked a client environment.
Yeah. So, you know.
That's how the clients know that we are customer-centric over here.
Yes.
We podcast the demise of their servers.
We're going to make a bad podcast to make sure you're in
Frank Zappa. We don't disclose who they are, though.
You don't come first, but we'll let you come equal.
Yes. We still consider you what we consider other things.
Yes, we will exploit your presence. it's fun, and it's going to be interesting to try stuff. I'd like to do more live streaming. I've talked about that for a while and said, even when we were doing stuff remote, it was like, well, we're already streaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there does happen to be a board recording in one physical location, but the whole thing was streamed. You might as well stream. And Zoom streaming sucks. We'll get into that, but. Yeah, so I think doing more of this would be fun, and live game. We can get Justin the setup that he needs to finish out his gaming rig setup at home that I suspected he had. And apparently, I was wrong, and we can just do let's plays together of us, playing Modern Warfare or something.
It'd be fun to play Dominion with everyone.
I think that would be fun.
All the new folks too.
We have a lot of new people.
I got some new people to beat.
Hasn't been on the podcast yet from the new crew? You know, we hired 7 people this year.
Trent's not been on.
Trent's coming. Has Big Chris been on one?
Big Chris has been on
one. I wasn't on
Will, that one. Will has not been on one.
We gotta get Will on. Mm-hmm. He's our Florida man.
Yeah. I think that's the current roster of folks who've not been on a podcast other than the podcast where we just like record a thing and just like, hey, everybody, we're going to record this and put it on the internet. Come object quietly to Big Chris if you hate that idea and don't want to be on it.
He already is the producer, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I've been low-key making him produce it for at least a couple months.
That's what you do.
I always blame him when things go wrong.
Yeah. He's a producer, but I haven't given him a company card. No, it's the worst position to be in as a producer. Yeah. I'm a producer with no budget, no money.
I just about put him as my administrative assistant on my week vacation. In my auto response,
email. I told you to.
We're not quite at that level of professional.
Well, your
friendship.
Auto response did say email him in my absence. You just didn't call him.
Yeah, I just didn't call him my administrative assistant.
Had to get off.
I almost did, but we're not quite get there.
Off my cord.
I put you on a cord over there.
Go on my cord.
It's on me. You're there now.
Next time.
We've
Red Robin.
You have broken bread at Red Robin.
He bought me pretzel bites for my birthday.
Aww.
Real talk, though. Don't get pretzel bites from Red Robin. They're trash.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. We weren't convinced they weren't deep-fried pretzel combos. Mm. They were that awkward and bad. It was like a sweetness. It's like, I don't want sweetness here.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
It's savory.
He detected a hint of onion. Another thing you don't want on a pretzel?
Hints of onion are bad.
That was just from the old oil.
You either got to commit to onion and own it, or you got... It was definitely old oil.
That was just the onion blossoms.
That was the onion rings. It was like the giant towers of onion rings that they fried. Happened.
I don't want hints of onion. I want proof of onion. Hints of onion. No, thank you.
The onion flavor without onion is unwelcome, yes.
I don't want LaCroix onion. You know?
Oh man, onion daiquiris or something.
Do people still order martinis with the pearl onions in them? That was a thing.
Was it?
Of course
it was.
Thing it's, in like the 60s
bacon
and 70s
martinis were a thing once upon a time.
There's a particular type of gin martini that it's got a name and I forget what it is now.
It has an onion in it. That seems just and I'm like
seems
a pretty
dangerous.
Yeah, like I'm a pretty open-minded with my food and drink, and something about an onion in a cocktail. I don't know that I can pull the trigger.
Well, do you do the martini thing? Mm. Do you do? Okay. Yeah.
And gin martinis are that.
Yeah. Huh? It's not that far off. I've never had one.
Yes, so it is. Say. It's an onion.
It's a cocktail onion.
But it's an onion.
But it's it's probably more like garlic. Is that worse? Better or worse?
Mm-hmm.
I might put garlic in there.
Yeah, because you know garlic, when you after you like pickle it or you cook it, it's a lot more mild than like raw garlic. Mm-hmm. I bet that would be good. But I found myself at Dixon Street Pub last night, like a youth, except not like a youth, because I got there at 5:30 and I was done by 7.
Yeah, that wasn't last night. That was yesterday afternoon.
True story.
Same thing.
If you make it to happy hour, it's not last night.
I left work early to go to Dixon Street Pub, and I'm doing the keto thing, and so I can't have basically but liquor.
Yeah.
Or liquor cut with other liquor.
Right.
So I went and I had a couple of gin martinis, and I had the best damn gin martini in a plastic cup that I've ever had. And I was not expecting that, but if you go to Dixon Street Pub and order a martini, which is an asshole move, I admit. I got whatever they gave me, and he handed it to me in a plastic cup, and I go, oh, I deserve this. And then I had a drink, and I was like, that's fantastic. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he was using well gin, because I did not specify, and I don't think he had one back there that he was just like, oh, I'll use my martini gin.
Yes.
Clearly, you want the Bombay Sapphire.
You got Heaven Hill.
I got Heaven Hill, what's the other one? I forget the other bottom brand.
That's pretty bottom. We have a suggestion to D&D live. I think that'd be fun.
I would observe. That could be fun. I've never been a D&D player.
That's what's fun is to have people who've never played.
Oh, well, that would be fun.
There's a few things we could do to streamline.
I'm D&D.
Pre-built characters.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, for
sure. And a pre-built module. Like, here it is. Here's the story. Here's the characters. Boom, go.
I go to sleep character building in person. I can't imagine watching people stream character building. No. Have you played D&D at all, Justin?
Are you a D&D-er, Justin? We need to know.
I've been invited to a couple of campaigns, and then I have been uninvited for unknown reasons. I just stopped getting invites.
He's closer to it than I am. I've never gotten the invite.
Let me ask you this. Did you get your invite when they found out what industry you were in? Like, professionally?
Just like, oh, he's a coder?
Yeah, I mean, it was like friends that I knew.
Okay.
IRL. So, I mean, they knew what I did.
Gotcha.
But, yeah.
The only time I've been invited to random D&D games was when they find out I'm a software developer. And then they'll throw out a couple dog whistles here and there, and then it'll be like bag of holding. And then the next thing you know, they're just like, we meet every Sunday night, you should come, it's going to be awesome, I've got Cheetos. Because I've played, and I really enjoy playing, but I just don't have the time to commit to it. But yeah, it's pretty funny when I've gotten a couple of random invites.
I got sadly excited the other day when I found out Hobbs had played so much D&D by himself.
No, we talked about that.
That's what us hillbillies had to do. Especially through the 80s satanic panic.
Yeah.
Like we just played out in the woods and
played D&D by yourself. You
know? By yourself in the woods. It's like, take your book and go into the woods.
Not
like out into the woods. Because, my parents are cool with it.
Alan out in the woods looking for like a pine cone with exactly 20 spurs on it.
This is my mini.
This is my P20.
Now we fight a pine cone. It's a giant pine cone.
Cast magic missile to disarm the pine cone. I think I could probably hold my own decently enough. I'm D&D adjacent enough. I've played a million RPGs and done all of the D&D derivative things that nerds might do.
I think you would be fluent enough, having enough RPG experience. If you've played, I hate myself now. The name just woof. The Bethesda. Skyrim.
Skyrim.
Yeah.
Anything
more. Oh, yeah. That's low-key getting people into that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's role-playing on the video game console.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. So we could do that. I'd do that. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Is there a way to do that in a one-hour episode?
I was about to say, it seems like that'd be hard to do a one-hour quest.
The closest, I could maybe do a little bit of research. I've got the starter pack for like 5th edition that's going to be... theoretically a quick campaign.
Okay. But
yeah, under an hour though.
Well, it can be a special episode. We can break it into multi parts. We'll sort it out.
Yeah.
That's the producer's job to figure out how that happens.
Big Chris.
Big Chris, figure it out.
We wanna play D&D.
go
treat him like mom.
Go get us some Cheetos. We'll play D&D. But Chris,
play with my friends.
I don't care if it's 3 hours. Figure it out in post. Write it down.
Chop it up if you have to. I don't know.
Well, it's time to land this plane. I think.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's been that time. We've done time.
It is time.
Our audience has done time. Yep. Man, this is fun. It's fun being back. We're gonna do more. We'll live stream more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guest in more.
I think we'll actually
we'll leave room for Justin to talk more next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think moving, as silly as it sounds, even moving the monitor.
Is the TV
closer,
too far away? Is that
think,
what it is?
I think it
he
might
is
be.
Way over there.
Well, and we could put him back here, maybe even. Like, and then he can be.
It's actually not. Well, I was going to say, it's not Justin's fault. Obviously, it's not Justin's fault. He's three states away, and I set up the computer over there. But the reason why this setup, this is no one can tell from that side of the camera, is that the lens on that camera is really shitty for shooting indoors. It's like a 25mm lens. It has to be across the room for it to not to just be a close up of Alan's nostril.
Gotcha.
Which means I have to separate that. The machine. We'll get a prime lens for that thing, and it'll be great. We'll be able to put it right here on the table with us.
Yeah,
that's how we live stream. We use the Meeting Owl. We had the 360 trash can audio owl, which apparently would have been better than the audio we had today.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm told.
Yeah.
We'll get to listen to it later.
Mm-hmm.
Find out. Maybe who told you that, Worthy?
Of it, Worthy.
He's just trying to psych us out because I said that thing I said about Serenity.
Yeah, he's just mad. Mm-hmm. He's throwing us off our game, getting our heads.
It's like, watch, this is so cool. It's like listening to the podcast, but I can send a message and watch them all
except
start to
I can,
fucking vibrate.
Yeah, except I can rip it into shreds live on air.
It's just like, we can't hear anything, and Casey's voice is coming out of Alan's mouth.
Yeah.
And everything Tyrell says is just like expletives about the gay community. It'd be a terrible, terrible glitch.
Nope.
That's how we get canceled. I told you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tyrell. Well,
I'm not even going to talk now. Shut my mic off.
Well, we'll call that landed.
Yeah, there we go.
Thanks for hanging, everybody.
Yep.
Well, the podcast ends now for the live streamers. Maybe we can cut an episode recording. What time is it? We have this is a lab day for us.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we got
time. We got time. All right, hang on.
Every day you hustling. Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow at Friday Deploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.